You're listening to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Now here's your host, Chris McPherson.
Hello, Eagles fans, and welcome to the Eagles Insider Podcast. But on this edition, I think we're going to rename it in honor of Bo Wolf. I think we will call this the Eagles Beakley Podcast.
All right.
For the remainder of the episode. I mean, for those of you who don't know, this will be the last episode with Bo. Bo? Yeah, this could be a tearjerker. This could bring out the Barbara Walters in all of us.
I am already very emotional.
Also here with Fran Duffy. Fran?
Hey, guys.
Sam Bradford thinks that I am terminally ill.
That's not something to laugh at. I apologize.
It is.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold back my laughter, too. But
it's like on the one end, I'm like kind of like, that's really funny, but it's at the same time, like, you shouldn't be laughing at that kind of stuff. But if you haven't had a chance to look at it yet, Bo, you know, surveyed the locker room to get their reaction to Bo's departure. And, you know, Sam was like, my doppelganger's leaving? And thought he was doing right. more. Thought he was departing
yeah,
this world.
That's right.
Altogether.
It stopped him dead in his tracks. No pun intended.
So thank you very much for joining us here. We have a great show. We are going to send off Bo in style, I hope. But, of course, we will break down the Eagles-Colts showdown, and then we'll look ahead to the rest of the preseason.
One final donkey whomping we got against the Colts.
If you would like to term it that.
36-10.
One of the three of us will call it that. One of the three of us will still be here.
So that's the thing, Bo
can just let it all hang out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, you can follow him on Twitter now.
@Bo_Wolf.
And he's already letting loose. So, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like once
BT's
going to
take
Novacare.
Did you guys see
3 weeks to edit this episode because of all the things Bo's going to say on here.
Did you guys see M. Night Shyamalan at practice today?
Did anyone fall for it?
Yeah. Some like associate producer at Comcast.
The backstory is.
Did they tweet it?
He retweeted.
Did
my
he really?
Tweet. Yeah.
Bo is looking for a nice little farewell prank to do to the media. And, you know, it's if someone puts something out on Twitter, some people might just take it and run with it as if it's gospel. And
well, it started before that. I was trying to get someone else to just tweet it just by saying at practice.
There were a couple of times.
Did you guys see M. Night Shyamalan? I heard he was here. I haven't seen him yet. Matt Lombardo was very close.
I thought it was going to happen.
And Adam Kaplan was extremely close.
Excellent.
Kaplan, you probably could have nudged today.
Yeah,
he tried, and it was close. He got the phone out. He didn't follow through. Oh,
he got distracted like a fly buzzed by. And
totally forgot and went on to the next thing. So, again, so... as we normally do, we will have our 3-and-out segment. We'll have our interview in a little bit. We'll have a special game time edition, some last bit of fun and games with Bo, and then mailing it in. Very apropos for Bo.
That's true.
In his last episode
That's true.
But he will not mail it in.
It's just three of us, you know? Just guys being dudes.
Guys being dudes. What's better than that?
I can think of a lot of things.
Guys being dudes.
I can think of a lot of things better than that.
Good to know.
All right.
Good to know.
Good to know.
I hope that becomes a drop.
That has to become a drop. For those of you listening for the first time, thank you very much. Make sure you subscribe wherever you consume your podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbay. I know there's a...
Beyond Pod. One more time.
A bunch of them out there.
One last time, because it's definitely
yeah, that's the last plug we're ever going to get.
So wherever you do, please make sure you rate and comment. Whatever questions you have for the podcast, you can leave them for us here, even though I don't know who us will be after
we don't
this
know.
Episode.
Well, maybe we'll find out next week.
Maybe. Maybe there'll be a special unveiling.
We shall see.
A week from now. So
even we don't know.
But let's get to the business at hand. Let's head to 3-and-out.
1, 2, 3, 3.
3 is a magic number.
3, 3.
Now it's time for 3-and-out.
So the Eagles demolished the Indianapolis Colts in the first preseason fair at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday by a score of 36-10. A fun atmosphere. You were kind of almost confused because it's a Sunday, 1 o'clock, and you're thinking it's a regular season, but it was 95 degrees, it felt like, out there. Poor Marcus Smith. I thought he played more snaps than he did, but he looked like he was dead tired by the end of the game.
Dead Reynolds. Played the most snaps.
Ed Reynolds played the most snaps in the game. I forget exactly how many, around 47, 48, somewhere in that like range. That. But the thing is, look, great start for the team overall, and you just see how much better the depth is this year. I mean, we don't see DeMarco Murray. We haven't seen Sam Bradford. Your top three inside linebackers all don't play, and you look at the victory, the way that the Eagles were able to perform, just thoroughly impressive from top to bottom. So for three and out, my item is I'm going to give some love to the defensive line. I remember on Saturday talking to Jerry Azanero saying, hey, what do you want to see from this crew? You know, you don't get to tackle in practice. You can't really go full bore. You know, the practices are more meant for the offense, the skill players to shine. This is the time when the defensive linemen can get their due. And Jerry was like, we got this taken care of. We're going to be fine. He talked about how they utilize the sleds in practice. And, you know, there's a part
sleds getting a lot of love.
Lots of love this year.
On the media last week. Yes. Everybody talking about the sleds as if that hasn't already been going on. But,
you know, the sleds have been there.
It's funny how, like, somebody will think of writing about that, and then all of a sudden everybody has to write about it.
You need a different angle. Once someone has a unique angle.
Yeah.
We talked about that last training camp. All the different stories that have been retread over.
Oh, man. Yeah.
What's interesting is that some of the ones we brought up last year haven't been brought up yet this year. So, knock on wood.
Well, one of the biggest ones was taken care of the day before training camp started.
That's true.
Would Brandon Boykin be on the outside?
That's true.
That was one of the biggest
ones
right there.
That was a really big one.
So that one got, thankfully got flushed down the toilet. So the defensive line, that first series against the Colts offense, look, I understand they didn't have Frank Gore, but still, just absolutely a dominating performance. Benny Logan was just whipping the center for the Colts. Khalid Holmes left and right all over the place. You know, Cedric Thornton, Fletcher Cox, they were their normal selves, but Benny Logan looked like he was taking his game to a different level. And then give credit to the second team guys. And Fran, I thought you illustrated this brilliantly in your Eagle Eye column. Bo Allen, Brandon Bear, Vinny Curry,
Taylor Hart.
Yes.
Yes.
All those guys just as dominant. You just didn't miss a beat. And Chip Kelly talked in his press conference on Tuesday about how that second line, maybe it's not quite the caliber of the starters, but they're pretty darn good in their own right. And there's just not a huge drop off. So you can limit the plays to get the most out of Fletcher, Sed, and Benny and still not have to pay the price where you're still going to get a strong performance up front. So the defensive line top to bottom, Brian Mahalik, the seventh round pick, had a sack.
Long levers.
That's right. Big people beat up little people. Just an outstanding, thorough, dominant performance. You know, so much change on that defensive side of the football. The linebackers, the defensive backs, the defensive line remain the same, yet they are still just as dominant and maybe could be even more dominant this season.
I don't want to overstate. I do think that there is a big difference between the starting three guys.
There is, yes.
But I also think that the Eagles' second unit of defensive linemen is probably better than most other second units. So it works out for the Eagles. Just because Fletcher Cox is so good, Benny Logan is becoming very good.
Yes. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I know the second team across the board, but yes.
Vinny Curry is obviously, you know, a tremendous special package player. But yeah, I mean, the defensive line, I feel like we have talked a lot about how the defensive line is probably underrated throughout the league. They are, in my opinion, the best unit on the team. So props to you for giving props to them.
Are you going to drop more hot takes? Now you're leaving us? Now the hot takes are coming?
Have I not given hot takes before?
No. You are the one that has to be edited in the post-production.
Exactly.
Every week, and it's something I'm like, Bo can't say that on the air. What is he doing?
The problem is that Fran is a little more worrisome than... Mm-hmm. than
yeah, because I'm the one that edits it. At least for Journey to the Draft, BT does the Eagles Insider. But no, I would agree. The defensive line, I mean, there's not much more you can say. What did that first unit play? Did they play
11 snaps?
And they had to have had 6 tackles in those 11 snaps, maybe 5 tackles. I mean, Benny Logan had 3. Fletch had 1. Yeah. Sed had 1. So just a really impressive outing in limited time. So, no, really impressive performance from those guys up front.
All right. So we should go from the D-line to, let's do the rookie class.
The rookie class. So, you know, I thought that overall, obviously, it was all these guys' first game, and you get to see them now in live action. Eric Rowe, I thought, played a very good game. He played on all the special teams units. He played in the slot. He played outside. So, really impressive game. He had a number of big plays. Obviously, the forced fumble is the one that everyone talks about.
Can you explain something?
Yes, sure.
Talk about the coverage he was in. Was he beat on that play?
They were playing zone coverage with 3 deep defenders and 3 underneath defenders, and he was deep third defender on the right side of the offense. But no, he was a deep defender, there was a blitz coming. He saw that there were, that the ball was going to come out, and he broke on it. So it looked like, oh, he's, you know, he got beat so bad. He was in zone coverage, and he was, you know, attacking a crossing route over the middle. Did a great job coming out and getting the ball on the ground. So really good job by Rowe. There were a number of different plays where, you know, I can think of one play in the slot where he attacked a receiver and made a tackle on the flat on a bubble screen. Really impressive day by him. I thought Jordan Hicks had a good game as well. You know, for his first game playing at linebacker, I thought he did a solid job against the run. Got to see his athleticism a bit in pass coverage. And then on special teams too, he played on all the special teams units, and he had a block on the long punt return for a touchdown. Thought he played well. You look at Aguilar, obviously, I mean, how much work can you ask for on his first career catch, you know, to take it to the house? And, you know, the drops, I'm sure they'll work through it. And he's had some drops in camp as well. So, look, he's going to be a big play guy for this offense. So really exciting to see for all three of those guys.
How did Denzel Rice and Randall Evans play in the secondary?
You know, it was tough because by that point with Brian Bennett in the game, it kind of changed a little bit in terms of what the Seahawks are, in terms of what the Colts were doing. You know, it was a lot more zone read. They were running the ball still at that point. I didn't get a great, especially because Randall Evans didn't come into the game until very, very late.
Yeah, he didn't come until very late.
Yeah, and Rice really, played a little bit more. Rice played a little bit more, but not too much more. You know, Biggers and Watkins got a lot of the reps on the outside in the second half. So I'm interested to see a little bit more from those guys moving forward.
All right, well, you talked about Aguilar. My focus here is going to be on the receivers because there were a lot of questions coming into the season, and there still are. We're trying to replace Jeremy Maclin, who was the leading receiver last year. And you saw right away that Nelson Aguilar, I think, is going to be a big part of this offense. And, you know, the drops were not great, but to have a guy who can make a play like that, and that was against the starting defense, you know, whether you think Greg Toler should be a starter or not is another topic for another day.
For all intents and purposes, but Toler had a good year last year, a lot of people say.
But that play was pretty funny. But Aguilar looked great. Jordan Matthews looked very good, as we all expected. You saw the one catch from Miles Austin, which was a very, as Chip described it, a very professional catch because he sort of geared down so that he could make the catch over his shoulder. We did not see much from Josh Huff. It wasn't targeted at all. But I think what we have seen from him in camp has been impressive. So I think this wide receiver class or group is going to be very good for this Eagles team. I think especially in this offense, they're gonna all have big years.
All right, so that's going to do it for Three and Out. Now let's transition to the interview.
And now it's time for what you've all been waiting for, the interview.
See, what's special about this week is it's not just one interview. There's multiple interviews.
Uh-oh.
As I said at the top of the show, Bo Wolf is leaving. He's not dying. You are moving into rival territory in the division.
Oh, no.
I won't drop the city, but
okay.
We can go back and edit that out if you don't want.
People will follow you there.
You know. Right.
We know that.
But, you know, we surveyed the locker room ourselves.
Uh-oh.
To get their take.
What a surprise.
On Bo Wolf leaving, taking the Wolf's Den with him. And I think we'll start off with a future Hall of Fame offensive tackle, and one, Jason Peters. You're going to hear a voice, another voice here is our producer, Brian Thomas. So, Brian Thomas catching up with Jason Peters.
So, what's your favorite moment of Bo Wolf?
Who is that?
Bo works for our website. You don't know Bo?
No, I don't know who that is.
All right. Maybe we'll have better luck with Vinny Curry, defensive end.
So, what was your favorite moment with Bo Wolf?
But Wolf always got some game to play while you in the middle of your meal. Hard practice outside, but Wolf comes up, hey man, wanna play a game? Well, we trying to eat, bro. But cool dude.
For his future bosses, what's the scouting report on Bo Wolf?
He don't care if you eating or not. He's gonna interrupt you if he got something to do or something to say.
That's good. I'm going to put that on my resume.
Aggressive. Bo Wolf's certainly aggressive. How about a man who likes to eat a thing or two? Nose tackle Benny Logan.
Reggie Wells.
My favorite memory of Bo Wolf was the Wolf Show. The little funny show we had to do, like the guessing game against another teammate in order to win a dollar so he could buy something at the vending machine. He's very intelligent, a hardworking guy who knows his information. He goes into depth about details, and he always has to have a sense of humor when he's interviewing or whenever he's around the building. You know, I wish him the best of luck, but wherever he goes, he's going to have a good time.
Psych! That's good.
A person who Bo has a rival with in the locker room, staying along the defensive line, Bo Allen.
Bo Well, I think favorite memory is kind of a subjective term, really. You know, we definitely had some memories, but none of them really stick out to me too much. My parents are often asked why they spelled my name B-E-A-U, and their response is because I'm beautiful. Because you spell beautiful, you know, B-E-A-U. And they said that they didn't want to spell my name B-O because all the kids would make fun of me for having bad B-O. So I think that it's a terrible way to spell his name, and he's doing it all wrong.
For his future employers, what can they expect as a scouting report?
Him doing the bare minimum to skate by, things like that, really.
And that's why our last segment is mailing it in.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Up next, funny man extraordinaire, long snapper, John Dornbos.
Well, you know, I've been fortunate to be here for a decade. I've worked for this team for 10 years. And I think my favorite moment with Bo was just yesterday. He came up to me and said, hey, what's your favorite memory of me because I'm leaving? And I said, wow, we've never met. I don't know who you are. So my favorite memory of you is the first time in 10 years. Hi, I'm John.
So how'd that interview go?
Well, apparently it wasn't the first time he interviewed me. It was the first time that I actually remembered him and actually said, oh, okay. So apparently he'd interviewed me a bunch, but I just never remembered him.
We're taking a play on the scouting report.
I think for his future employer, the scouting report would be he doesn't really leave a lasting impression on anything at all that he does. I don't really know how he contributes. I don't even really know what he did here. He's like the guy in the movie Office Space with the stapler where people just didn't really know who he was or what he does. So I think he'll fit in just fine, and you won't even notice him.
And he's not a player. Special guest on he's always on Fran's podcast. He's always on our game day programming. NFL Film senior producer, Greg Cosell.
Greg, you've obviously done a lot with Bo over the years, the film room segments, coming on the Journey to the Draft podcast. How do you feel about Bo leaving the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, I'm really happy for him because now, after all these years, he can finally get that stand-up comedy career started because he's obviously one of the funniest guys I've ever been around.
This is true. Well, so after watching the tape, because, you know, obviously we know you watch the tape, going back and looking at those film room segments you've done over the years, what are your thoughts on Bo?
Can I get back to you on that?
Yes,
I need a little time to think about that. Because nothing immediately positive comes to mind, and I always was told never to say anything negative about people.
Well, I think that's
he says negative things about lots of people.
Of course. Not usually on camera, but BT, Chris Stevens, phenomenal job.
Thank you, guys. That was a treat. Thank you. Have you never noticed the difference in Fran's voice on his own podcast versus on our podcast?
It's like Christmas morning when he's on his podcast.
Yeah, he
gets to talk about film breaks.
I don't know if it's the acoustics are different, but he's like just his pacing is different. It's funny.
He's just excited.
That's a astute point there by Mr. Robert Wolf. The best point you've made, and it's your last episode. So good. There you go.
You gotta save the best for last. Gotta save the best for last here on the, and we'll say, Eagles Beakley podcast.
Thank you.
In honor of Bo.
I would, one of my only requests is that you guys make a drop of me saying Eagles Beakley and play it at the end of each episode.
I think it's fair enough. Is it of you whispering it like a stalker?
Eagles Beakley, Eagles Beakley.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I think we can make that happen. It's time for Enemy Intel, where Bo and Fran will delve into this week's opponent, the Baltimore Ravens.
Time to get ready for game day. It's time for Enemy Intel.
All right, Francis, let's get to our final Enemy Intel here as the Baltimore Ravens are coming to town.
It's not mailing it in yet.
Not mailing it in yet. They're coming to town on Wednesday, 3 days of practices before the second preseason game on Saturday, but really only 2 days of good practice. Friday will be a little bit more of a walkthrough. So, in addition to what we're expecting from the game, let's talk about a few of the players who we will focus on when the Ravens are here. But let's start where we did last week with the Colts and just talking about some of the rookies who they have, who we have talked about in the Journey to the Draft presented by AAA Podcast.
Many, many times over.
They've got 10 guys by my count.
Okay.
How many can
from
you name?
From this past year?
From this past year.
Okay, so you got Breshad Perriman.
Correct.
You've got Max Williams.
Correct.
You've got Za'Darius Smith.
Yes.
You've got
Shrine and Senior Bowl. Big face, Za'Darius Smith. He's got a large head, I remember.
He's a large human being. Mm. Let's see here. I'm struggling right now. Carl Davis.
Carl
from
Davis.
Iowa.
That was a good draft class, huh?
Yes, it was very
Perryman, good. Perryman, Max Williams, Carl Davis. That's a pretty good haul.
Yeah. Nick Boyle.
Nick
the tight
Boyle.
End from Delaware.
Nick the Stick.
Along the offensive line.
There's
sure
one offensive
got somebody.
Line.
I might need a hint here.
He was midweek replacement at the Senior Bowl, or he might have been there the whole time.
Blaine Cosell.
No, incorrect. Had an afro.
That's Robert Myers.
Correct.
From
Bob
Tennessee
Myers.
State.
Yep. All right. We've got this
good
guy was not at the Senior Bowl nor the Shrine Game, but he was a running back who you talked about at some point. SEC.
Talked about a running back at some point in the SEC. That could be a lot of guys. Oh, Terrence McGee.
No, he was at the Shrine Game. He is on the
yeah,
list.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember that Terrence McGee is there, and he was at the Shrine. Yes. I liked McGee. Third down. Who is not there? I don't know. Who am I missing?
Am I thinking of the wrong guy? Javorius Allen?
Buck Allen. Yeah, he's from USC. USC.
Yes,
the wrong SC.
Thanks. Well, there you go. So Pac-12. Two more. Both receivers from the Shrine Game. One hilariously. We already laughed about this before the show.
Of course.
I can't believe they have Trent Steelman on
there. Trent Steelman, the former Army quarterback.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And one other Shrine Game receiver.
Ah, of course. Darren Waller.
Yes.
Who's the giant man from the Georgia Tech Ramblin' Wreck.
Okay. So, to me, this conversation starts and ends with one player. Michael Campanaro.
Of course, yes.
I mean, a chance to see
so
greatness
got,
in action.
You've got one day here to check out Michael Campanaro. Or, I mean, are you going
to... I hope to find his father and become his official hype man.
Thanks.
Go Deeks. Go Deeks.
I hope this is the last time we ever have to play this.
I'm sure that it is. Until the Eagles draft... trade for Campanaro.
There you go.
Draft
They've got an interesting group of receivers. You know, for a number of different reasons. You got Steve Smith and
so,
Rashad
I mean,
Perriman.
Kamar Aiken is listed as the starting receiver opposite Steve Smith, but they have obviously Rashad Perriman. Obviously the expectation will be that he becomes that guy.
At
although
some point.
He's got a little bit of an injury thing going on right
now.
Yeah,
apparently from earlier in camp.
They've also got Marlon Brown.
Yep, who's played for them.
Yeah. But Campanaro, I think, actually is coming on a little bit.
Yeah, I think that they expect big things
from Campanaro. For our nickel guys.
Yeah, I think that they're expecting big things from him this year. So I can keep an eye out for him in the game. That'll be a good test for the guys inside the slot. I hope Perriman plays. I really want to see him, especially this week just in practice. I think he'll be a good test for our receiving corps just because of his size and his ability to get downfield.
I am also looking forward to seeing Max Williams because we both liked him a lot.
Yes.
Coming into the draft, seeing how he is coming along. To me, these practices are mostly about corner wide receiver matchups.
Yeah. I like the O-line, D-line, all the one-on-one drills.
But they're not going live.
Right.
But it'll still be good, those pass rush drills.
Yeah.
But that's where you're going to get the best action. Who, in your prediction, will Steve Smith get in a fight with?
Who will Steve Smith get in a fight with?
Because we were having this discussion upstairs, who will get in a fight between the Eagles and Ravens? But obviously it's going to be Steve Smith, right?
Right. Yeah, if I were to pick somebody, I would say it would be him. The answer to that question, though, I'm just trying to think of our secondary. Who would be a guy? Maybe E.J. Biggers?
That was my guess.
Yeah. I would say it's probably E.J. Biggers.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if I see any of the other guys. Maybe Malcolm. That's BT's guess. It's Malcolm Jenkins.
I don't see that.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think E.J. is
okay.
More likely candidate.
You know who they have at safety, what I just realized?
Matt Elam. Oh, of course. Yes, one of your favorite players ever.
Absolutely.
Will Hill.
Will the Thrill Hill.
Yes. Of
I wonder
course.
if he's taking a bus up or if he's going to the airport.
That's a good question. I forgot. And apparently he played really, really well for them last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the talent has never been the question with him.
So they've also got Jimmy Smith from last year and Ladarius Webb. Those guys will be good tests for the Eagles receivers who we've already talked about.
And those guys are coming off injury, so it's been a big camp for those guys.
Who else are you looking forward to seeing?
You know, I want to see C.J. Mosley up close. I really, really liked C.J. Mosley coming out of Alabama. He was a defensive rookie of the year. If he didn't win it, he was the finalist for it last year. I'm really excited to see him up close. Courtney Upshaw was one of those big players from Alabama who wasn't the natural bend-the-edge pass rusher, but one of those strength and power and leverage guys. So excited to see Courtney Upshaw. Brandon Williams, who we saw at the Senior Bowl in person, that stout nose tackle from Central Missouri.
Yeah, very squatty.
Yeah,
I liked him a lot.
Exactly where you're exactly went to school. But Brandon Williams has taken over for Haloti Ngata inside. I'm excited to see Juan Castillo. Haven't seen Juan in a couple years. So Juan will be back.
Hard work hard.
That's right. So excited to see Juan.
I believe Marty is there as well.
Oh, really?
I think he's their quarterback's coach.
You might be right. So there you go.
So that's actually the most like apropos usage ever of being cyclic. I'll be going out with Marty Morningwig.
Yeah, here. That's a good point.
Cyclic. Timmy Jernigan was a player who you liked a lot coming in. Oh, do you know who their third quarterback is? Literally never heard of this guy.
Okay, then I don't know. No, who is it?
So they've got Joe Flacco.
Yep.
Matt Schaub.
Right.
Their third quarterback, Bryn Renner.
Yeah, from North Carolina.
What's his deal?
He had, so like people thought of him as a prospect coming up, you know, when he was a junior.
Bryn Schwartz.
It's not Bryn Schwartz. He had a shoulder injury his senior year.
I hope he still has a shoulder.
He still has two shoulders, but he had a shoulder injury his senior year, and people were worried about, you know, how much that would impact his draft status. He didn't get drafted, obviously, but yeah, that's the third string guys, Bryn Renner, North Carolina.
They got a lot of senior bowl guys of yore. Kyle Juszczyk.
Oh,
Crockett
of course.
Gilmore.
Yep.
Crockett Gilmore is not good. I mean, Max Williams, I hope.
People love Crockett Gilmore.
Yeah,
people always are talking about Crockett Gilmore. I would agree. Yeah. Remember he had that big senior bowl of the game, though.
Yeah.
He scored like two touchdowns in the game.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yes.
Anybody else in terms of on this Eagles team who you want to see go up against this Ravens group?
I'm excited. You know, this offensive line is regarded as one of the best in the league, so it will be fun to see the O-line, D-line 1-on-1s, just to see our D-line up against their O-line. And then in the game, watching those two go up head-to-head. I would say that those are probably the
for me it's Sam Bradford because seen him go up against this Eagles defense. I know this is an obvious thing,
absolutely.
But he gets to go up against a different defense, and he's likely going to play in the game.
Yep.
So I think Bradford is the guy to watch this week.
And after not playing on Sunday's game, he came out to practice on Tuesday and was throwing dimes all over the field. So I'm excited to see Bradford this week.
As am I. All right, well, frenemy intel. I suppose, since we're joint practices, that's what we should have called it, frenemy until.
That's pretty
good. That'll be it, and let's move on to game time.
Get out your scorecards. It's game time.
I love it.
All right, fellas.
Game time.
Well, how are you going to even, who's going to come up with the games?
We'll play this by ear.
Yeah. All right. All right, today's game, playing Marlin favorites.
Oh, that's good. Wow. Good job.
Thank you. Playing Marlin favorites. We're going to be just saying some of our favorite things from our time here at the Eagles Insider Podcast, presented by Journey to the Draft Podcast, presented by AAA, included a little bit as well. All right. Let's start with, what's your favorite drop that Brian Thomas plays?
Ooh.
This is easy for me.
For me, I think it might be the pontifications of Bo music, that whenever you're making a pull, yes, there you go.
That's a good one.
We haven't had one of these in a while.
That's a good one. That's true.
Maybe today as you go out.
Maybe.
It's always been
one of my favorites. I feel serene and calm listening to this.
Maybe I listen to this track before I go on my own podcast, and that's why maybe it's a little bit better.
What do you listen to when you break down tape?
Nothing. Almost always nothing.
Really?
Yep.
Silence is golden.
Can't be distracted.
That's right.
Speaking of Golden, who was the coach at Temple
nice.
After Al Golden? One Steve Adazio.
Did anybody work for him that we know?
I don't know about that, but he has a drop that is infamous.
I think our quarterback coach did.
That's right. Ryan Day, of course.
Well, there's a drop that's been on this podcast, which quite infamous, to say the very least.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
There you have it.
Guys being dudes. Definitely my favorite.
Plenty of laughs.
I saw that coming.
Do you have another one? Another Adazio?
Oh, man.
BT's going into the archives here.
Ultimate dudes.
Another one. I'll miss the nerd alert.
Well, you're not going to miss it. It's still going to be here. You're still going to be here.
Fran will still be here to bring on.
To be the nerd alert.
Correct.
Okay.
Dudes to the right. Dudes to the left. Stuck in the middle with you.
Why doesn't he say stuck in the middle with dudes?
I
don't know.
I would agree.
What a maroon. All right. What's your favorite running joke on the Eagles Beakley podcast.
I think you named it.
Yeah, the Eagles Beakley obviously is one.
Yeah.
I always enjoy the back and forth between you and Harold Carmichael over his son Rock. Yeah. That's always been a favorite of mine because he gets really aggravated with you really quickly. I would say the wet toothbrush or dry toothbrush conversation was a good one.
Yeah, you're...
Oh, that's absurd.
I mean, I'm back to the dry toothbrush.
It's not a running joke.
I tried it one time.
Really disgusting thing.
I tried it one time, and it just didn't fit me.
At least we inspired you to...
Yeah, well...
Try something different.
It was a waste of a few minutes, because I wish I could have just... Yeah. Without getting into detail.
Is his name Bo Wolf? Or is it Wolf Bo?
Yeah, that's always a good one. We won't really have that too much anymore, huh?
Al Feehill. all right. Who was your favorite interview that we have done?
See, I like the Harold interview.
The Harold interview was good.
That was very good. Yeah. Just
I wasn't there for that one.
All time great. And that's why I was going.
That's why I was going.
No wonder it went so smoothly.
You know, just one of the greatest players in team history. All time great guy. Truly a character. Even better guy.
Yep.
Yeah, drop the hashtag there. Yeah. Had a lot of fun with that one. I would say number two would be Trent Cole.
I never talked to him.
Trent's a great guy. You guys can make fun of him.
Oh, I love Trent.
Of course. I know you love Trent.
Trent is...
Of course.
All-time favorite.
Absolutely. I enjoyed... And it's funny, we were talking about it yesterday. I enjoyed the Kenyon Barner interview from last training camp. It's one of my favorite ones. I thought he had a lot of fun. That was a good one.
I have one from last training camp also. The Mark Sanchez interview from
that
last
was a good one.
Yeah.
Camp. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought that was good.
Did enjoy that one.
Benny was one of the first ones to come on the podcast.
Benny was good. And he was there for like an hour.
Yeah, that was a long one with Benny.
Yeah, Benny was good.
I enjoyed doing them in the off season because we would get the guys. Like, we got Connor, we got Vinny, Benny. Yeah.
Vinny was a good one, too. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
The worst one was Casey Matthews. Not because, not anything against the guy, but he didn't have anything to say that day.
I'll give him credit. I mean, there's a lot of times during the week where at the last second we're like grabbing a guy, just being like, hey, can you come in and do this? You know, something might fall through, schedules get changed, whatever. And we're like, Casey, could you do this for us? And
sometimes just clunkers. Yeah.
I'm trying. Oh, were there any other ones that we walked away like?
I feel bad for Eagles fans who are looking for actual Eagles analysis today. But.
We'll mailing it in segment.
Yes.
Mailing it in. A lot of great questions this week. So we will
get to it. What's the next one?
What's your favorite game?
Considering how it won me the Journey to the Draft contest.
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
I would say Order in the Court is probably my favorite.
Either or.
Either or is a good one. I always like the over-unders too.
Who will be?
Over-unders are fun. Yeah. Who will be?
Yeah.
Classics.
Yeah,
we'll probably still play them after you're gone.
As you should. Okay, two more. Who was your favorite bottom of the roster player from the last few years? Go ahead.
Murder leg.
Just
one.
Just because he came in and you knew he wasn't gonna get the job, but this guy came in with the nickname Murder Leg. So Casey Spears or Kerry Spears is what I'm talking about here. So,
Elvis Akpla.
Elvis Akpla is a very good one, but he predates the podcast.
Elvis Akpla.
That's a good one.
If we're talking like all time, yeah, since that's a good here, point. That's like I'll go Zip Duncan on you.
Zip Duncan is one. Blue Cooper.
Blue Cooper. Blue Cooper was good.
Joe Toledo.
Joe Toledo. Remember the time Trent Cole bull rushed him in one all?
Yeah, he was on the team. He got there that day, and I've never seen anyone get beat more on a one-on-one play than Trent Cole against Toledo Joe.
Oh, man. That was the last year at Lehigh, wasn't it?
I think it was either the last or second last year.
It was one of the last years up there.
There have been some great Eagles tenures. Joe Anderson, Jose Acuna.
Tiger Jones, y'all.
Yeah, but he was actually here.
Yeah, actually was in camp. Oh, he gave up being a champion with a soul.
Oh yeah,
you had mentioned Ed Wang.
Yes.
Great.
The first signing of ever for Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
That's a trivia question. It's really, yes.
I'll always be a Jorick Calvin fan for the time when he just ran around in the end zone.
Just Blaze.
And let's see, Jimmy Winchester. Jimmy Winchester. But I would have to say that my favorite Eagle, this also predates the podcast, sadly, would have to be Jerome Harrison because he was not Mike Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here you go.
You love Mike Bell.
You love you some Mike Bell.
Just, respect talent.
I remember at the Combine that next year talking to Mike Bell's agent who was like trying to like give me this plethora of excuses for his dwindling play, and the whole time I'm like, if Bo was here right now.
How about Demetrius Bell's agent? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Forgot about Demetrius Bell.
And of course,
jeez, yeah.
Obviously, the actual answer is Steve Vallos.
Well, yeah, for you.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, last question. What's your favorite Kaplanism?
There's too many to choose from here. You got to watch the tape. Ball's got to be out. It's probably number one.
The ball has got to be out.
Ball has got to be out.
Let's see.
Mine is
check my timeline.
Check
my timeline.
Mine is sprinkle a little sugar on the egg.
Oh, that is.
That guy is can't run. You just can't run.
Guy can't run. He can't spin it. Can't throw. Can't throw the ball.
Watch the tape. You watch the tape. Watch
ball's
the tape.
Got to be out.
Oh man!
Sprinkle a little sugar on the egg. That's my favorite. All right. Well,
talk to a GM friend of mine.
Talk to a GM friend of mine.
Yep. Well, look, we're sending you out.
Wow.
I don't know if BT knows that we still have one more segment left.
It's all right. All right. So that was playing Marlin favorites. Maybe you'll keep that one in the can for another time. But
Marlin favorite.
Game time. My last game time.
Last
let's,
one.
Let's move on then to, what I've been doing for the last 6 years. Mailing it in.
At least the last 2 weeks.
Captain, incoming message.
Please check your mailbox. A new message has arrived.
And now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in our segment, Mailing It In.
It's time for the final segment of the Eagles Weekly Podcast.
Thank you. This is the ultimate show of respect. That's
yes.
Wonderful.
So we solicited questions on Twitter. And we actually got a slew of decent ones in a very short amount of time, which is credit to you, the fans.
That was great, yeah. Keep spreading the word.
Must mean that, obviously, it was a good performance Sunday. A lot to talk about. So, let's see. Which one will I start with here? There's one specifically for Fran, so I'll start with this one. Oh, snap you, fan of the podcast. We've had this question done before. Simply ask, what is Fran's take on the fourth, fifth inside linebacker spots? How many will the team keep? So, Fran, you get to answer.
I think the second part of that question will take some time to figure out, because we'll just kind of see how it shakes out at other positions. And obviously we know the top four. I mean, it's going to be the three studs. You've got D'Amico, Kendricks, and Kiko, and Jordan Hicks is obviously going to make the team as four.
Well, we know that he's going to make the team, but we don't know if he's going to be the fourth.
But
I would say that he may likely not be the fourth.
Possibly, but he's four.
Well,
he's going to be on the roster.
Yeah.
But if you're saying top four guys, he may not be the
just
fourth guy.
Just trying to think of who the 53.
Yes. Yes.
So we know the four. Those we know four they're make.
Those are locks.
You know, I would say Brad Jones right now would be the leader in the clubhouse from that group.
Oh yeah.
You factor in Najee Good, who was very good 2 years ago, and then Emmanuel Acho, who played a lot last year. I thought he played pretty well on Sunday against the Colts as well. So
it was not Najee's best game, but it was his first game in over
first
a year.
Game back. Yeah, so. Absolutely. So I would say Brad Jones though would be the leader in the clubhouse for that fifth spot. If they decide to keep six, then we'll redress.
And obviously, Brad Jones has proven that he can be a valuable special teams guy, which is what those spots are all about. As Chip says, special teams, special teams, special teams, and he has the versatility for a back end guy to play both inside and outside linebacker if need be. So all those things would lead me to say that right now he's the front runner for that last spot.
Yeah, I would agree.
That versatility will definitely be key. I just have a segment that I miss. Bob's Discount Furniture from last year.
Around the MCs. Around the MCs. Yeah.
I mean, it'll be here again, but it's just, it'll be different. We're just not doing it.
Gotcha.
We got pulled. We got yanked.
Oh, it's fine. It's having too much
no
fun.
No more teleprompter.
That's right.
Or what's it called?
Telestrator.
Telestrator.
There you go. At Better Barry, maybe there's a worse Barry, but yeah, Better Barry wants to know, who do you think we will see more of? Now, he just goes Matthews or Sproles, spelled Matthews with two T's. I'm going to assume he means Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, we will see more Jordan Matthews than Darren
Sproles.
There
you go. So that question easily answered. Ryan Matthews, on the other hand, I think he's going to have a significant role.
I agree.
In this offense, you know, 6 to 8 carries, I guess, you know, maybe 8 to 10 touches total. I love watching him run. Great fit for this offense. Great situation for him to be in. You know, he's not the guy, but they run the ball so much in this offense. There's going to be a good size role for him here. So.
How many carries a game do you think he'll get?
I was thinking about this, about, you know, you not quite 10, but
I think he gets double digits.
Do you think he's going to get double digits?
I think so.
You think it'll be closer to a 50-50 split, because that you go by that, that's around, I think it was like 300 to like 150 maybe. Right. It'd be almost like a 2-to-1 kind of between he and Murray.
I think it's more likely that Ryan Matthews gets double digit carries a game than DeMarco Murray gets 350 carries in the year.
I would definitely agree with that one. Okay. Yes.
I would not discount the possibility that Ryan Matthews becomes the most effective running back on the team.
You might be right.
Could be.
But to answer the question, I still think that you're going to see a lot of Darren Sproles, and just maybe not as a ball carrier, but all over the field, you know, in the slot, moved around in different ways, and still on the field in two running back sets. I think you're going to see a lot of Darren Sproles.
The attention he draws from a defense, as Chip has said, just helps open up space for everybody. Yeah. So even if he's not getting the ball, you know, if he's running the wheel route, you're sucking the safety over there.
Exactly.
If he catches that ball on third down, I mean, he's still running. He had that guy beat. We've seen him go in receiver DB one-on-ones throughout training camp and beat safeties and beat corners habitually, you know, week in and week out here. So I'm really, really excited about
and
that.
And, you know, we've talked about how the presence of Ryan Matthews should help DeMarco Murray, you know, stay healthy, stay fresh at the end of the season. The presence of Ryan Matthews will also do the same for Darren Sproles. I think we saw Darren Sproles be a little bit less effective at the end of the season last year than he was early in the season, because he had a lot of touches early on. So I think Ryan Matthews' presence also helps Darren Sproles' productivity.
Definitely would agree with that. Nathemel DP, my apologies, at Nathemel DP. Wants to know, what is Josh Huff's role going to be in the offense?
It's a great question.
And I still think that he's going to be a starter. You know, I know Aguilar had the explosive play. He's the one getting all the attention right now. You know Matthew's going to be the guy in the slot. But, you know, Chip talked about this at his press conference. They're going to be able to rotate those receivers a lot more this season. And I think, and this is what Bob Bicknell said, in a perfect world, you're almost giving those guys almost equal distribution of the ball. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I think that quote that was like, ideally all of our guys get 40-some catches and four touchdowns, and that's it.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that'll be the case, but I just think that he can make that year one to year two jump. He's got the physical talent. He's much more mature. He's in a great situation in that locker room. I mean, Jordan Matthews is a great guy to emulate. Nelson Aguilar's coming in with the right attitude. You got Miles Austin, who's, you know, teaching all the guys, you know, the tricks of the trade. I think he's in a good situation to have obviously bigger role than last year. That's not saying a whole lot from an offensive standpoint, because I think he had 8 catches was a total for the season. But I still believe that he will be a starter in this offense and still have a big output here.
The big question with Josh Huff to me is, how wedded is Chip and the offensive coaching staff to playing Riley Cooper a lot? And we know that he, you know, they say that he's the best blocker on the outside, but if you're looking to get the most explosive receivers on the field, it's going to be Huff, Matthews, and Aguilar. It's not going to be Riley Cooper. So they're going to be asking different things from that position, so there are reasons why Riley Cooper will be on the field at times. But Josh Huff's role, to me, will depend on how much the Eagles want Riley Cooper on the field, because Aguilar is going to play, and he's going to play a lot.
Yeah.
And you look at the Eagles' offense over the past couple of years, it's rare, and if you look at it thinking like a fantasy football player where you're trying to pick, oh, well, who's going to be the number one target in the offense? Why can't I rely on Zach Ertz week in, week out? Because they spread the ball around to all these different guys. Some weeks, you know, Josh Huff didn't get targeted on Sunday. Next week, he could have 12 targets. You know, so I'm not too worried about it. I think Josh is going to be a big part of the offense.
You brought up a good point with the Ertz injury. He's out for the preseason. You know, the team's optimistic he'll be back for the regular season opener in Atlanta, but is he going to be 100%? How does that impact the offense?
Well, Trey Burton almost made my preseason prediction come true with that first play. Yeah. That would have been a long touchdown. But that's a good point. I mean, you got to have faith that he'll be healthy for week one, and if not, then I think Trey Burton can fill, you know, can do a lot of the same things. He's not the same body type, obviously, but yeah, from an athletic standpoint, you can move him around and try and create matchup problems that way.
So put it this way, you lost Darren Maclin, you have about 130 targets to replace.
Right.
That's kind of the distribution, how you have to think of it, is who is going to get those targets, and I think Huff is going to get a significant amount. Aguilar is certainly going to get his as well. Up next here, this is a defensive question from KJ Springer 23. How does the defense avoid getting beat over the top without giving up screens and hitch plays?
It's about being disciplined in the second level. So the linebackers and the D line just realizing, what they've got to do up front to defend the screens. The Eagles have been in the past a team that mixes up coverages. So you'll see two man coverage where there's two high safeties. Other times they play a single high with one high safety, and who's underneath, that'll depending on the play call. Those guys just have to be aware, and then you got to rally to the football.
And I also say that if you're going to see the prevalence of press coverage, guys got to be able to get their hands on receivers and, you know, disrupt the timing of those routes.
No shot.
That's going to be the biggest thing there, which you didn't see last year. And our last question, I'm mailing it in, comes from at Eagles Beakley.
I saw this. Yeah, go ahead.
Bo sent in a question, okay?
Where does at Bo underscore Wolf get all his hot takes? That guy is really smart. Blessed. Hashtag blessed, I should say.
I think that tells you that that's not me.
I think it tells me.
No, it's quite opposite. That's opposite.
So will you admit that
I would never use hashtag blessed.
I think that's you trying to throw us off.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
I
mean,
I would like that person to come forward when I leave.
I'm pretty sure it's you.
Yeah.
It's not me. there's a lot of crazy things going on in my brain. That's where they come from.
That is true. So what are you going to miss most?
That's a great question. The big question.
The big question.
I will miss a lot of things. I will miss you guys a lot. I will miss this show a lot. I would like to thank BT and Chris for making us sound good and putting up with us. I want to thank you guys. It's been a lot of fun. I'm going to miss it a lot. I'll miss the den. I'll miss game day. Just hanging out with you guys.
I don't know what BT's going to do on his Wednesdays now. He's not going to be able to do Wolf's Den.
No Wolf's Den now. I mean, we should have seen the writing on the wall when they renovated the cafeteria.
Yeah,
exactly.
They took out the den.
That's exactly right. They left me no choice.
So, Bo, it's an absolute pleasure. Special talent, to say the very least. It's going to be a lot different around here. A lot different.
Well, Miss Eagles fans.
Sometimes when you approach a fork in the road, you have to go straight.
That's
Bo Wolf.
Thank you, guys.
Bo Wolf?
This was a lot of fun.
Bo Wolf or Wolf Bo?
Wolf Bo.
Folks, I'm going to let Bo do the final sign-off here for this edition of the Eagles Beakley podcast.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Fran. Thank you, other Chris. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, fans. This is Bo Wolf signing off.